Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of
Ecclesiastes
chapter 9. And beloved brothers and sisters, this world in which we live in have so many broken homes, broken relationships, and there's no enjoyment of the things of God together with the family, with the brothers and sisters, and to celebrate God's provision for us. Men think that they can celebrate, but leave God out. Don't bother me in my life. Don't enter into my life. And that's why there's so much sad evil that is happening, because God is not the center of the life of God's people. And so eat thy bread with joy. Notice the word joy mentioned many times. With joy eat thy bread. Drink thy wine with a merry heart. Notice verse 9, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. In other words, he is admitting, as he began the whole book of Ecclesiastes, he says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. What profit has a man of all that he labor, which he taketh under the sun? He said in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. In other words, he admitting that in this world of sin, there are problems. It's vain, there are sadness that is going on. But God's people, who are still part of this world, really can live for God as if they are out of this world and live for the Lord and enjoy God's provision. Yet God will be the center of their life. And notice, brothers and sisters, another thing that is interesting here in verse 10. Whatever you do, he says, do it from your heart. Do it as unto the Lord. I'm reading verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findest to do, do it with thy might. In other words, do it from your heart for the Lord. Do whatever you do as unto the Lord, he's saying. In every area that you are involved with, do it as unto the Lord. Why? He says, look what happened. Verse 10, B, for there is no work, there is no device, there is no knowledge, there is no wisdom in the grave, whither thou art going. See, when you're going to go to the grave, when you're going to die, there you don't need any more work to do. There you don't need any device or to calculate what to do. There you don't need any more knowledge. Therefore, you don't have the need for wisdom there. When we leave this scene, that's it. We cannot any longer do anything for God. It is only here and now. And I notice that he used the word in the grave, at the end of verse 10, in the grave whither thou goest. He used the word grave here. For some reason, it's not really accurate, because the word grave in Hebrew is kever. But here the word grave is the word sheol. Sheol is the place of the departed spirits. All people who die leave this world, their bodies in the grave, but their spirit and their soul going to sheol. In Old Testament time, it was Sheol. The New Testament call it Hades. Hades. But even in Hades, before the Messiah died, there were more than one compartment. There was the portion of the godly and was the portion of the ungodly. There were the portion of the believers and there was the portion of the unbelievers. You remember the story that we read in Luke 16. Lazarus, Eliezer, and the rich man. When Eliezer died, he was carried to Abraham's bosom. This is paradise. This is the good part of Sheol. But when the rich man died, he was buried. He had gone to the bad part of Sheol. It says in Hades, the same place as Sheol in the Tanakh, in the Hebrew scripture. And what did he do in Hades? He cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Eliezer that he will dip the tip of his finger in water and touch my tongue, for I am tormented here. And Father Abraham said to the rich man that went to the evil, to the sad part, to Hades, where all the unbelievers, they said to him, you know, in your lifetime, you had good, but Eliezer had it bad. But now, after death, you're going to have evil and he has it good. And you cannot come to here, neither he can go to you. Things are too late. For the unregenerated, it is too late. And so Shlomo, Solomon, is using the word grave, which is actually the Hebrew word Sheol, is the place of the departed spirits. In this case, for the believer, is in a good place, paradise, Abraham's bosom. But later on, beloved brothers and sisters, when Yeshua came, he himself emptied this place, this Sheol, from the righteous one, and he took them to be with him. And today, when a person, a believer, dies, he or she are absent from the body, and they are present with our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. Such a wonderful lesson to learn. But the Old Testament saints were limited with the information. They did not have the information that you and I have today after Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, had come, had died, was buried, was raised, was ascended, and sent the Holy Spirit of God to dwell here upon this earth. So, verses 1 to 10, accept the fact that death will come upon all. How do we live until we will die? It's a decision that we have to make today. Remember that all will have to pass away, the righteous and the unrighteous. Remember that while we are here, there is still hope. You can change your manner. I can change my manner of life. I can do something and live for the Lord and realize that you can enjoy life today, but enjoy it with God as the one that is in the center. For God now accepts thy works, as we have it here in verse 7. And whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Brothers and sisters, listen. I think this is very important. Because sometimes we don't realize that whatever we do, whatever we serve the Lord, we don't do it to please men. We ought not to do it to please men. It's not that we are doing what we are doing because we want to have a tap on our shoulder and say, wow, you are such a great person. Thank you for doing that. We are doing it as unto the Lord. If we really want to serve the Lord and please the Lord, we are doing it as unto Him. We are not doing it because someone will give us some kind of an approval. The Lord is the one who is going to give an approval to His own people. And this is what we have to bear in mind when we serve here in this world. Shaul Paul said, let the word of the Messiah dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And listen to this, verse 17 of Colossians chapter 3. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatever we do, the Lord gave you an opportunity to serve in one area or another, do it as unto the Lord. And I can tell you that many times people will not appreciate what you do. But it doesn't matter. There is one that sees it. There is one that knows it. And we are to do it as unto the Lord. We are not to do it unto men. Whatever you do, Shlomo is saying, whatever you find in your hand, do it as unto God. Do it with all your might. And obviously he meant, do it strongly with all your strength, but do it as unto the Lord. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will ultimately reward you for that. So in the first 10 verses, accept the fact that death will come upon all. And as long as you're alive, use your life for the glory of the Lord. Now look at the remaining portion. Verses 11 to 18, accept the fact that life is uncertain. It is really uncertain. I'm sure some things happen to you in your life that you never believed that will happen to you. Maybe you thought you have worked so hard about accomplishing something and it didn't work. Maybe you have been faithful in one area and it seems to be that things didn't work the way you wanted. You planned, you have arranged everything and you knew it's going to work. But somehow, it was uncertain. Something happened and things have shifted. Here in this life, you have to accept the fact that things are really uncertain. And so he says, in verses 11 and 12, Shlomo is charging our people of old Israel, and he wanted them to expect that time and chance happen to all. Notice I'm reading verse 11 and verse 12. He says, I return and I saw under the sun. Remember, all the time is under the sun, here in this sinful world, under the sun, tachat ha-shemesh. That the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Verse 11, he's saying, really, be swift and strong and the wise and the one who understanding does not really mean that if one is strong and is working hard, that everything will always goes his way and he or she are going to win. Some people are preparing for races in athletics. Some people are preparing for schooling to become something in life. And it doesn't mean that always they are going to get what they want to get. Things are uncertain here in this world. Your plan might shift. The Lord might direct you in a different way. Things are not, as he said at the end of verse 11, he says, time and chance happen to them all. Actually, the word chance, it's not quite giving you the right meaning of the word. In Hebrew, the word is pega. We don't have any chances. Oh, I tried, you know. No chance, you know, there's no chances for the believers. Everything is going to happen because God planned it and God have designed it. So the word here, time, in Hebrew it is et. It is an appointed time. And the word chance in the English here, but the word is pega, it means an occurrence. Something will happen to all here under the sun in this world. You might work hard in a race, you might fight in a battle, you might be the one who is trying very hard, but really, he's saying to the people of Israel, time and occurrence happen to all of them. Even the swift one and the one that is working hard and the strong one, the one who go to the battle, all happen to all. In other words, everyone is not exempt of time and of occurrence. It can happen that you will win, but it can happen that you will not. It could happen that you will gain something and achieve something, but it can happen that you will not achieve it. Time and occurrence happen unto them all. Why, he continues in verse 12, man does not know the time of his death. Men do not know how things will happen here on earth. Verse 12. For man also knoweth not the time, as the fish that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. You know, when some of you guys like fishing, and you're going and you sit in the lake and you throw your net and you cast your fishing rod and the fish passes by and whoop, all of a sudden he's being fished out. He doesn't know that it will happen. He didn't know that one person will decide to go fishing today and that he will fish him out. He doesn't know that. He's passing by looking for food. Whoop, he is caught. Same thing with the birds. Notice, it says here, a bird is taken, is caught in a snare. You know, you would put some kind of a device, you want to catch a bird, And the bird is flying, coming to that place, seeking to get food. Bang! All of a sudden, the bird is being caught. He doesn't know, she doesn't know that it will happen right now. So Shlomo is saying, it's the same thing to the children of men. They might be snared in an evil time, and the time be fallen suddenly upon them. And here they gone. We do not know our time. We do not know how things will work here in our life. We have to accept the fact that something will happen in this time or that time, and we do not know. We travel on the highway, and somebody is hitting us in the back with a car. We are going to work, and something happened on the job. We do not know that it will happen. Everything is in the hand of God. So being swift, being strong, being wise, being understanding does not mean that we will always win and gain what we wish to gain. Everything is in the hand of the Lord. And man does not know the time, even the time of his death, because everything is in the hand of the Lord. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, he conclude with a story. You know, Shlomo was the kind of a man who wrote so many proverbs and so many songs. And here you find him in verses 13 to 16 that he conclude with an illustration. And he's saying, notice it, it's very interesting. He says, this is wisdom, this is the godly wisdom that I've seen under the sun. And it seemed great unto me, Shlomo is saying. Look at the godly wisdom. I want you to see. I want you to appreciate to have godly wisdom. There was a little city, he began to say in his story, in verse 14, and there were only a few men inside that city. But also there was a great king came against it, and the king besieged it and built a great bulwark against it. He described a story maybe from some of the experiences he had in his life. You remember, Shlomo was wise. All the people of the earth came to Solomon to hear of the wisdom of Solomon. And perhaps somebody told him, you know, King Solomon, I want to tell you what happened in our nation, in our country. There was a little city. And in this little city, there were only a few people in this city. But then a great king came and besieged it. He kind of surrounded this little city that a few people were there. And he built a great bulwark. In Hebrew, the word is matzodim. He built a great bulwark against it. He made sure that no one will be able to escape. He was going to take this little city, this great king that was there. But then he continued and he says in verse 15, but listen, in that little city, there was a poor wise man. And notice, he by his wisdom, that was godly wisdom, he delivered that city. Now, he didn't say how he delivered that city, but what he did say, beloved brothers and sisters, that this poor and wise man had wisdom and the ability to deliver the city from this great king that came against this little city. We don't know how he did so. We don't know the way whereby this poor wise man handled the situation to help this little city. But Shlomo is making an application here. And what does he say? He says, listen, the great king could not succeed against the poor wise man who was living in that city. The great king, with all the arrangement that he had made to capture that city, eventually did not capture the city because this poor wise man, by his wisdom, was able to deliver the city from that great king. So Shlomo is saying, listen, if you have God with you, if you have God in your life and the wisdom of God in your life, you are able to accomplish great things. You are able to defeat great kings. You are able to win great battles if you have the wisdom of God. And Solomon, when he was young, he had the wisdom of God practiced in his life. But he had gone astray, as we know it. And he became very foolish by turning away from the Lord. And really, he was defeated. He could not be a help to the people of Israel when he turned away from God. But when he turned back and he repented and he realized his failure and his need of the help of the Lord, then he could give us such an information as this. It doesn't matter how great this man is or great this king is. It's better to be poor but wise and to be able to be used by God against anyone who is strong and rich and powerful but deny God and God's way. When I thought about this, look at the world today in which we live in. Great men who are trying to fix the problems in this world and none of them can. There are presidents and prime ministers and leaders in this world, and instead of helping this world, they are turning the world into a worse shape than it was before because they took God out of their life. They set the Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, aside. And beloved brothers and sisters, there is no one who can deliver this sin-sick world except the person of Yeshua, the Messiah, whom the Bible tells us the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. He became poor that you and I will become rich. Behold the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet he became poor, and through his poverty, you and I became rich. You and I won, not because of anything that we have accomplished, but he had accomplished this on our behalf. And how, what a typology that we have here. The great king could not win against this little city because there was a poor man who was wise. And he trusted God, and he could defeat that person who was such a great king. And you know, I was thinking of the Lord Jesus, that he defeated Satan. He defeated God's enemies. When he died for us on the tree, he led captivity captive, and he freed the believers in him, and he made us to be part of a redeemed company. It's amazing when you see the illustration here. And so notice, and I'm going to conclude with this. What is the lesson? Verse 16, he said, then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. Can you imagine? This man, after he delivered the city, they forgot about him. They forgot about him. His words are not heard. His wisdom is despised. That's what's happened. And isn't it true? The work of the Lord in this world is being rejected. The only one that can bring salvation to this sin-sick world is Yeshua the Messiah. And yet, men forget his words and forget his work. We read here, people despised his words. And they are despising his wisdom and his words are not heard. They forget about God. They forget about the one who gave them the ability to be forgiven and to be delivered. Like sometimes us, I'm speaking for myself, we have the inclination to forget God. Lord, you know, thank you that you have died for me once, but I want to live my life. Don't bother me right now. That's why Shlomo at the end of the book says, remember. Remember now thy Creator in the day of the youth. Don't forget him. Don't wait. Do it now. Remember constantly. Don't forget him. Remember that you are moving, you're living, you are doing what you do because of what he has done for you. And I'm just going to conclude now in verses 17 and 18. Shlomo is making an application from this story. And you notice what he says. Therefore, seek godly wisdom in your life here under the sun. And I'm reading these last two verses. The words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. What the application is simply mean that it is better to glean the wisdom of God than to be the one that is strong and cry among fools. It's better to have the wisdom of God. But yet, notice at the end, he says in verse 18, one sinner destroyeth much good. Who is that one sinner? It could be any leader. It could be any king. It could be any government leader, any prime minister, any president, any spiritual leader. He can destroy things if he does not submit to the wisdom of God, if he doesn't take God seriously in his life. One sinner destroyeth much good. And we don't have to talk much, but we know very well how many leaders, including countries like where we are, who should lead the people of his country to the things of the Lord, but shifting the direction. Less God and more liberalism, less Yeshua and more the wrong ways, instead of turning the people back to God, one sinner destroy even much good. Therefore, he is encouraging Israel, and we are all encouraged to know that wisdom is even better than strength. Godly wisdom is better than human strength. Well, brothers and sisters, may the Lord help us as we learn from King Solomon how much more we can learn, even from King Shlomo. In his older age, he was willing to lead Israel in a better direction. May the Lord help us as well these days. Can we say amen?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.